The next case is Russell against Richards. Mr. Brightwell.
May it please the court, my name is Bruce Brightwell, and I represent the appellant in this case. This case involves the Johnson County, Indiana Jail's policy of requiring every inmate who is booked into the jail to use the Lysol brand delousing shampoo, which is a pediculicide, which basically a less concentrated form of a pesticide, to kill lice. This is done without any determination having been made that any of the inmates being booked into the jail even have lice. Under this policy, the inmates supposedly have the right to refuse to use the shampoo, but no one ever tells them of that right. And then the jail's policy regarding the use of the shampoo isn't even in conformance with the instructions on the product label, and the inmates are never told about any of the warnings on the product label.
What's right?
I want to...
If the plaintiffs have never objected to the use of the shampoo, then how do they have standing to bring this case?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, because from the record and under the policy, it's not set forth that they're actually told that this is a chemical delousing shampoo. As part of the book-in process, the inmates have to shower. They're handed this cup of shampoo and told to use it. So at the outset, I know the defense have raised this issue. At the outset, there's nothing in the record to show that there was anything for them to actually object to. No one ever said, this is Lysol, this chemical shampoo, use it. They were just handed a cup of shampoo in the shower and told to use it. So I don't believe in that instance there's any waiver on their part, because they're not even told that they're waiving anything. At that point, they don't know whether it's Lysol chemical shampoo or just plain old shampoo off the shelf.
If they had some skin problem or skin issues, though, they could certainly state at the time they were handed this cup of shampoo what's in it. You know, I'm just trying to get to what the harm or the injury is here. But I'm saying, yeah, I understand they weren't told, but if they had some kind of condition or they had some concerns about it, they could certainly ask what was in it.
Well,
nobody did that, right?
That's correct. And then, of course, then that would assume again that it was a condition, because this product has specific product warnings, like, for example, allergies to ragweed and that sort of thing. That, again, if nobody knew that this was a special
claim that your clients were allergic to any of the ingredients?
No, Your Honor.
And for purposes of allergy, would this be any different from soap? Right? Prison hands out soap, which some people might be allergic to some ingredients in some brands of soap.
Well, that is correct. I mean, yeah, as far as some other products, that's true as far as with the regard to the allergies. But that's not really the main...
Then that leads to my question whether, so far as the prisoner is concerned, this is any different from soap. Unless there's a possible allergic reaction, what would the difference be between this and soap?
Well, the difference in this case, Your Honor, is because this is an actual chemical, a dilute form of a pesticide.
I hate to tell you, there are chemicals in soap.
Well, that's true. But because this is basically a dilute form of a pesticide.
Yes. Soap is based on lye. Lye is a pesticide and a poison and a bunch of other things.
And if you
want to distinguish your case from soap, you can't say that soap is not... You know, that this is different from soap because soap isn't dangerous or anything like that. Soap is based on a highly corrosive substance.
But, and as the district court found, page 8 of its opinion, though, that this is, in fact, given the nature of this product, that this can be considered to be a medical treatment. And, in fact, that was the whole reason.
Right, that's why I'm asking you, in what respect is this different from soap? And the answer, well, there are things sort of like pesticides in it, turns out not to be any different from soap. Is there any other way in which you think this is different from soap? Because I take it you're conceding that it does not violate the Constitution for the prison to insist that the prisoners wash with soap.
That's correct. Yes, well, our contention is given the nature of the product, that this is being done as a medical treatment, because unlike just soap, which just washes away dirt, this product and this chemical is designed to kill lice, to actually kill the organism.
But we're not, this is not a suit about the constitutional rights of the lice. This is a suit about the rights of the prisoners, right? So from the perspective of the prisoners, as opposed to the perspective of the lice, how is this different from soap?
It's different from soap because it, in fact, unlike soap, constitutes medical treatment.
Tell me, will the record tell us whether if a prisoner refused to use this shampoo, the jail would in any way attempt to compel, force the inmate to use it?
No, the record is unclear on that. The jail has asserted that an inmate has the right to refuse to use this delousing solution, but then it doesn't expand on what happens if that occurs.
Now, how do you respond to the argument that it would be much more time-consuming and costly for the jail to screen prisoners for lice, as you suggest?
Well, it probably would be slightly more time-consuming and costly, but it's usually time-consuming and costly to protect any constitutional rights. Just like with the TB case that was cited by the district court in its brief, I mean, it might be cheaper and more cost-effective just to apply a whole host of prophylactic medications to inmates coming into the jail. But that's not what the constitutional standard is.
But wouldn't that procedure also, as I believe they've argued, be much more invasive of the inmate's privacy?
Well, not necessarily, Your Honor, because particularly under Indiana, inmates are required within 48 hours of book-in to undergo a medical examination anyway. So at some point within the first 48 hours of book-in, there is going to be a medical examination. So our proposed alternative really just pushes that examination up to earlier in the process, so that there is a medical examination early on, in particular looking for lice. And that's really the crux of this case, because what the defendants are trying to do here, which we found no case that allows that, is allows a jail to force inmates to undergo any type of medical treatment before it's even been determined whether or not they even need it. And I think that's the crux of the issue here, is if we were talking about a policy that required inmates who've been found to have lice to undergo this procedure, that would be a whole other case. But this is where they're simply doing this in this broad shotgun prophylactic method of requiring everybody to use this substance regardless of whether they even have the lice or not. And in particular, one of the problems here is because in the way they use it, you don't even get that connection between the jail policy and the jail regulation. It only applies to one of the three types of lice the inmates could have. They don't follow the product instructions to begin with, so then the inmates are being required to undergo this treatment and use this chemical when it appears, based on the product instructions, to have absolutely 0% efficacy.
I just have one question. Do you have any case law that would support a finding that inmates have a clearly established right not to receive hygienic treatment for delousing, as opposed to forced drugs, psychiatric type drugs, like those cases you relied on, because you cited a couple cases there.
As far as talking about, a substance like this versus the antipsychotic drug.
Right,
there's been no case that we've been able to find that addresses other types of medical treatment such as this one outside the antipsychotic drug context.
Thank you, Mr. Brightwell. Mr. Arden.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Michael Ogier. I represent Sheriff J.D. Richards in Johnson County, and I'd like to take my time today before this court to discuss a couple of issues. First, to discuss the issues raised in plaintiff's brief with respect to the type of standard or the standard to be applied with respect to the jail's policy of administering or giving each incoming inmate a cup of delousing shampoo in light of their citation of those three Supreme Court cases I think Justice Williams was referring to. And then I'd like to just briefly discuss the Turner factors, which I believe are what are actually applicable to this particular case. First, with respect to the line of cases cited by the plaintiff, with respect to the forced administration of antipsychotic medications, the defendant would submit that none of those cases really apply, perhaps with the exception of Harper. First, Riggins and Sell, those cases and the reason for their reversal and or treatment had to do mainly with, I believe, in my reading of them, the Sixth Amendment right to a fair and full trial. The consideration in those cases whether or not the forced administration of antipsychotic medications detracted from the defendant's ability to assist his counsel in rendering information to assist in his ability to cross, as well as his offer of testimony on a direct examination.
How much of a connection is there between the jail's concern about a potential infestation and the administration of the shampoo, given that the jail apparently makes no effort to ensure that inmates actually use the shampoo, and that if they do, that they do so properly? I mean, it seems like they're taking care of one third of the problem.
Admittedly, Your Honor, there's obviously holes and gaps in the way and manner in which the county administers this policy, if you would like to refer to it as policy. And in fact, it is a policy. Clearly, there probably is not 100% efficacy, and I would characterize it just as Mr. Brightwell has called it. This is a mere prophylactic measure and an attempt, albeit perhaps futile, albeit perhaps incomplete, and perhaps not 100% efficient, but nevertheless, it is an attempt to combat a problem which is a problem at the jail by virtue of the affidavits that have been submitted in the record of Sheriff Richard or Sheriff McLaughlin and the Assistant Jail Commander, Randy Spivey. Clearly, those concerns, and in getting back to what I was discussing earlier, those United States Supreme Court cases that have been cited by plaintiff, I do not believe set forth the adequate or the appropriate standard to be applied by the court in this case. And that being said, I think that referring to Harper...
Let me come back to your... What sounded like a concession that the prison is engaged in completely useless activity. Suppose the prison said that we're concerned about an infectious disease and we want people to be inoculated against it. That's long, protecting third parties from disease has long been understood as a completely good reason even to override religious objections to inoculation. And the inoculation to be effective requires two injections a week apart. The prison provides one injection, doesn't have the follow-up, and therefore achieves nothing. You think there'd be no possible objection by the prisoner to that? I mean, that would amount to the administration of the drug without achieving any of the stated goals. It would just be a gratuitous injury inflicted on prisoners.
Well,
it sounds like what you're saying. We run the jail, we're doing something, it's completely useless, but, Here we are doing it.
Well, I don't know, Your Honor, that I actually stated that it would be completely useless. I think that to a certain degree, applying this Lysol shampoo does do something. Now, whether or not applying it in a manner which is not in accordance with the instructions on the bottle in itself does nothing, I don't know, and I don't think the record demonstrates that. Referring to your example, however, I think that... have a couple of comments. The first comment would be this obvious distinguishing factor between the example that you gave in this case is one you're talking about, if I'm understanding your analogy correctly, inoculation, which involves the injection of some type of chemical into the inmate's body. That is obviously not the case of what's going on here. And secondly, I think that the perhaps your analogy raises other, perhaps Eighth Amendment concerns as to the possible efficacy, again, of the medical treatment in which
I'm not worried about the Eighth Amendment. I was worried about either a due process claim or, suppose the prisoner were a Christian Scientist or a Jehovah's Witness, somebody who had a religious objection to inoculation. The Supreme Court has said that can be overridden to protect third parties. But the question question I was posing is, how can you override it when you don't, in the end, protect the third parties?
Understandably, and I think, again, that would be the distinguishing factor between the example that you gave in this case, is that I do believe that, although perhaps not stated in the record, that at least applying the dioxin shampoo in the manner in which it is applied does do something, albeit perhaps not everything that it is designed to achieve. Because obviously, even in light of the policy, the jail still, by virtue of the affidavits that have been submitted, still deals with the problem from time to time of having to go into each cell block and de-louse individuals, even though they apply this policy on the front end.
Have you, by the way, been confronted with objections to the in-prison de-lousing procedure?
No.
Because I think they'd be even more serious than the objections being raised here. Fumigation of cells, and it's rather a more thorough procedure than the shampoo that's now being
done. None, Your Honor, and I would gather that there probably aren't very many objections, because I can't imagine too many people would enjoy actually having
that. Prisoners don't like the lice.
Right, and that also gives rise to, again, an Eighth Amendment liability on behalf of the sheriff.
You know, the Eighth Amendment claim would be brought by the lice who object to capital punishment.
Okay.
Why isn't the jail at the least under the obligation to notify inmates of potential adverse consequences and screen out people who might be vulnerable to the adverse reaction?
Understandably, Your Honor, and I don't know that I'm not aware of any case that actually informs that they have to do that. That being said, I think in referring to Exhibit 4 in the plaintiff's brief, which is actually a photocopy of the Lysol shampoo itself, the only indication on there that is a concern of anyone, as Mr. Brightwell stated, was whether or not individuals have any allergy to ragweed. The label itself says, use with caution on those individuals. It doesn't say, do not use on those individuals. So that being said, I think that would probably be the only concern, is if there were individuals who did have some sort of allergy to ragweed.
Well, because they don't get the bottle. They get it in a little
cup.
Paper cup.
Exactly. And as Mr. Brightwell stated, each inmate does have the ability to reject medical treatment. That is clearly stated in the inmate handbook.
But wouldn't the typical inmate think that he's supposed to obey instructions while he's in jail?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
They have enough to complain about there.
There is paperwork there's paperwork that's filled out when an inmate comes to the institution, true.
Absolutely,
and,
Your Honor.
And some questioning done to the inmate because you're trying to determine what cell block and criminal history and all that. So it would be a very easy matter to have a little checkbox on ragweed allergies, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The record is somewhat incomplete because the major argument I made in on summary judgment was that it was reasonably related to a legitimate penological interest, and these issues were somewhat undeveloped. It is, in fact, a policy of the jail, as is all jails, to run through a medical history checklist as a part of the bookend process. That being stated, I'd like to discuss at least one of the issues raised by the plaintiffs with respect to their proposed alternative to the policy that the jail has. That being a medical examination. Again, I would refer the court to the exhibit on exhibit number 4 in the plaintiff's brief, wherein it indicates basically how one should go about determining whether or not someone possesses hair and or pubic and or body lice. I would submit to the court, as I have argued in my brief, that subjecting each incoming inmate to a medical examination where a medical provider would go in and check the roots of the pubic hair of each individual coming into the jail would be a far, far more intrusive, constitutional, perhaps impermissible search of that individual, subject to all sorts of abuse, in my judgment, compared to the policy that the jail actually administers. That being said, I respectfully request that the court affirm the decision of the district court. I believe that the policy is reasonably related to a legitimate penological interest, that is maintaining sanitary conditions at the jail. I believe that the factors applied in Turner are the applicable factors.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Brightwell?
Yes, Your Honor. I would just point out, to the extent of the court's example, the difference between the general fumigation or dealing with an actual lice infestation is that it's actually been determined that the problem exists, and as in Cell, the way for dealing with it is both medically appropriate and necessary. The primary objection to this policy is there's absolutely no determination made that any of these people even have this problem, so they are subjected to this product, to this chemical, and then the product instructions aren't even followed, so that whatever minimal benefit there could possibly be from this procedure is completely eliminated. So that's our concern, and that's why we believe that this is a constitutional violation and an area that this court needs to address to help map the contours of what medical treatment is or is not appropriate to be required of inmates in the jail. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brightwell. The case is taken under advisement.